On this Day of Atonement, brethren, Jesus Christ will come to defeat all the power of the earth, all the power that Satan could possibly amass to contest Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ defeats, and we pictured that on the Feast of Trumpets. Only Jesus could do that. The world's best, China's best, Germany's best, Iran's best, Afghanistan, with all of America's weapons, their best, Satan's best, thrown at Jesus Christ, and only he could defeat them. And so we have what the Day of Atonement pictures. Jesus Christ has returned to earth. He has won the victory over the world and all the power that it can amass. And now there's one more power that has to be put away in order for the kingdom of God to appear on earth. So that all the blessings, and for the people to really be able to live God's way of life, to enjoy what he has for us, to see the creation for what it was, to truly see the vision for what he had created before time. All that creation, it tells us in Romans 8, that has been waiting for. This time, that the kingdom of the millennium will come. And before it can appear in a way that God wants it to, Satan has to be put away. Satan, who's been God's adversary for far longer than mankind has ever existed on the earth. But sometimes, brethren, I think we take Satan and we take for granted. We know that he's evil. We know what he does. We know that he's a wrong influence on the world that we live in. A world that if you really look out, you see it on the internet, you see it on the TV, that has gotten very used to his ways. What we don't see is some being that has been in opposition or an adversarial relationship with God for who knows how long, but so much longer than the 6,000 years that humans have been on the earth. On this Day of Atonement, a time that God is going to reconcile mankind to himself, and there's one necessary step pictured by this day that is left before that can happen. If you look at the 1828 definition from the Webster's Dictionary, it means reconciliation after enmity, a day of atonement, a time when mankind can be reconciled to God after his entire history where he has been in enmity against God. In Romans 8:7, it tells us the carnal mind, the natural mind, is enmity against God. It isn't subject to his law, neither indeed can it be. That time, brethren, will come to an end. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. It says, "How you are falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning." What happened? How did you fall from heaven, Lucifer? How are you cut down to the ground? The Hebrew word there for ground is ertz, E-R-T-Z, which is translated in other places as earth. How you are cut down to the earth, you who weaken the nations. You have said in your heart, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of the angels of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Brethren, you see what happened to him? He looked in the mirror and he thought, "Who's better looking than me?" When he opened his mouth, he thought, "Who can say wiser things than I can say?" And he looked around at whatever he was working with, but he forgot. He forgot that God gave him the powers to do all these things. And he looked around and mistakenly thought it was all about him, that he had done it all on his own. And he said to himself, "Who needs God?" He forgot that he was created. Brethren, God is the one who gives the power. God is the one who gives the attributes. God is the one who gives the knowledge and the wisdom. And every single one of us are in the same boat as Lucifer. Without God, we are nothing. Everything we have, everything we are, everything he develops in us No matter how good we think that we are, it's all of God. And without him, we are nothing. Just like Lucifer without God, he's absolutely nothing. And he forgot that. And he had the audacity to think, I'll ascend into heaven and I'll rise and I'll be like God. I'll take over his throne. Who needs him? Whatever he does, I can do better. If we really sit down and think about what Satan had done, it's hard to imagine that someone could have those thoughts. Or they could want to challenge God. Yet Satan did. And God says in verse 15, yet you will be brought down to Sheol to the lowest depths of the pit. You're thinking very highly. But what's going to happen to you is you're going to be brought down to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities? Brethren, it's Christ who brings reconciliation. But we who will work with him to help bring reconciliation to God, free from Satan. In 2 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, where Peter talks about Satan going about as a roaring lion, it says, Peter chapter 5, verse 8, seeking whom he may devour. Brethren, don't take those words lightly. That is what Satan is doing. And he goes around the church of God, and he knows very well who you are, and he knows very well who I am. And there is nothing he would like more than to catch us and to devour us, just like a lion would. When it says in Ephesians about putting on the whole armor of God, we must do that daily, brethren. We must stand against Satan. We must understand his influence. And we must understand the way our minds work and that he can lead us astray. Satan is awfully influential. Back in Ephesians chapter 2, We see some very tremendous implications for us today. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, you, Christ, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. In your former life, when you lived in darkness, you were dead. You had no future. It took the forgiveness that comes from Jesus Christ. It says, you are dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. The prince of the power of the air, who has influence over all this world, brethren, all over this world. And only, brethren, in recent decades, do we fully understand what the power of the air is. In the days of television, in the days of the internet, in the days of all these magical things that we have, that have so much benefit, you pull out your phone and you can access any information that you need, and it all comes wirelessly to your phone. But boy, they can be awfully influential in the wrong way, if you really think about it. How much has our entertainment medium led us astray from what God had created between man and a wife to be? All that has just gone away. You see it on the cartoon Simpsons. You see the loser dad, the kids who disrespect him. In almost every TV show, the father is made out to be the dumbest of the whole family and not worthy of respect. And we can turn on the TV and it influences a whole generation of children to treat their parents that way, to treat their moms and dads in a certain way. We turn on the TV and it's rare that we find a family that is actually a real family the way that God would pattern itself after. Instead, brethren, we see people who are in love with each other, living with each other, and it just becomes the norm of the world. Even our superheroes are pushing LGBT, QRXYZ agendas. And it's ridiculous. The prince of the power of the air has blasted that out over the airwaves. And as we watch these things, we hear these things, and we look at the stories on the internet and the things that we see around us, it is Satan who influences. It is Satan who divides. It's Satan who takes us away and leads us away from everything that God had created. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, Satan is the god of this world. He commands the airwaves. There's some light out there as the Church of God preaches the gospel of the kingdom, but by and large, brethren, he influences through every mechanism he can find. And so all of our minds have been tainted. Brethren, if we're sitting here 40 years ago and we could warp speed ourselves into today, we wouldn't believe the state the society is in today. I'm seeing pictures of celebrities gathered at a Met Gala this year, and you see men wearing dresses as a fashion statement now. They're wearing heels or wearing suits with like a little floral skirt. It's shocking to watch it all. And I'm thinking, this is the new style? Is this, in 10 years, will we be seeing that on the street? More than likely. It just, little by little, it starts influencing the generation. And we've gotten so used to it, brethren. But that's how Satan does it. Little by little. Just like he convinced the angels to rebel against God. Little by little. He'll plant a seed in your mind, and you'll think on it, and he starts just influencing little by little, and you don't realize it. He takes it further and further. And if we don't watch out, and if we don't stay close to the truth, if we don't stay close to God, we can be devoured just as well as anyone else. And it behooves us, because only, as it says in Revelation 12, in verse 9, we know that every other place in the Bible, only by His Holy Spirit are we able to overcome and resist the temptations and the influence of Satan. If it wasn't for His Holy Spirit, we would all be just like everyone else out there in the world. And it's because of His Holy Spirit we know these things and we do these things. And Satan will keep influencing, and he'll keep working with the world until it says in Revelation 16, verse 12, he somehow convinces the whole world to gather together at a place called Armageddon. All the world's armies, all the armaments, all the weapons, everything gathered together in one place, and he deceives them as to what they really are there for. But he gathers them together to fight against God. The same old Satan doing the same thing he did back however long ago. The same thing he has done throughout all life. The same old Satan separating people from God, trying to unseat God, and it's not going to happen. Anyone that follows Satan is doomed. Satan is doomed. There's no way. And if you're looking at things very clearly, whenever we're tempted, whenever we think that this, that's something apart from the Bible, if we caught ourselves and knocked ourselves in the head, we realize Satan's way does not survive. It will not win. There's only one way, and that is to engage the Holy Spirit and resist Satan. Resist Satan. Resist what he shows, because he will bring the whole world against Jesus Christ, and he will hope. He will hope, but he should know that he cannot defeat Jesus Christ. But in no time flat, Jesus Christ returns. We read in Revelation 19. He conquers the kingdoms of this world, and he establishes the kingdom, and he knows exactly what the next step is, and that is putting Satan away. Because as long as Satan, who is very influential, brethren, who does things as God allows him to do, because he wants to see what's in our hearts as well. Will we follow him, brethren, or will we follow God? Will we resist Satan, even though he can be very, very tempting? Or will we use the Holy Spirit and build character in ourselves? Or will we continually fall prey to Satan's devices? Brethren, Christ will unseat. He will dismantle the forces of the world. He will be King of Kings. and he will establish his kingdom, and he will put Satan away. And then an angel, it says, will come, and they will take Satan, and they will bound him for 1,000 years. He and his angels with him, no longer able to influence the world, so the millennium of Christ's free reign can begin without the influence of Satan. It doesn't mean that all the things that these people live in over from the kingdom aren't going to have to be erased, because they come in with their own thoughts and their problems as well, just like we do. But through the kingdom and through the purifying and purging of God's Holy Spirit, like us, they should become more and more like him. And knowing what this day pictures, and knowing what the Day of Atonement is, understanding that through the fast that we do today, that we have to become humble people, that we have to become reliant on God, and through that humbling, and through that reliance of God that we must have, it's then that he will break the yoke. It's then that he will, on the Day of Atonement, break the yoke of Satan from off this world, and cast him away, and put him in utter darkness. Brethren, one of the many proofs of the Bible to me is this Day of Atonement. When I see, and when you read in Leviticus 16, what ancient Israel did, and they see the step in God's plan that we keep today. Only God, and only God with a great plan could have done things this way. There isn't a man, there isn't a writer who could put this stuff together. Only God. And so on this Day of Atonement, brethren, we find ourselves with a very important step. And Jesus Christ knows that Satan must be put away. The adversary, his adversary, our adversary, must be put away. And then the times of refreshing may come. Let's go to Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted." What do we do when God opens our minds to the truth? What do we do when we see Satan for what he is? What do we do when we see the world for what it is? When we see our lives for what they are under his influence? Continuing, it says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Jesus Christ, who resides in heaven today, waiting for the time that God sends him back to this earth, waiting for the time that he will save mankind from destruction, save mankind from himself, waiting for the time that the heavens talk about and celebrate, the time that he'll return, and then creation and God and mankind will be in unity, when the earth can be refreshed, when it can become what God has always intended it to become, the things that he has called us to, the things that he's opened our minds to, the things that he wants to be a part of. Colossians 1 verse 19. Colossians 1 verse 19. It says, "It pleased the Father that in Christ all the fullness should dwell." What we talked about on the trumpets, on the Day of Trumpets, Feast of Trumpets, all these holy days have Christ at the center. Without his sacrifice, without him, none of this would happen. It says, "It pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." And you, speaking to me and you, brethren, you who once were aliens and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present to you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. He has looked down, he has opened our minds, and for some reason he's chosen us, brethren. And when we repent and when we get baptized and we're baptized and we receive God's Holy Spirit, He continues to work in us, to develop in us and to make us who He wants us to be. Holy, blameless, preparing you, preparing me, preparing a people for the time that Jesus Christ returns. And verse 23 begins with that big word that we all must remember. If, brethren, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven. It behooves us all to stay close to God. Don't yield to Satan. Don't give way to him. Don't make a place for him. Stick close to God. Know his truth. Know his love. And by his Spirit and with his Spirit, overcome Satan. Overcome Satan, who would have you perish. And finally, brethren, in Romans 16, verse 17, Paul to the people in Rome, but he's also writing to us today as well. Romans 16, verse 17, says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them." Brethren, know the devices of Satan and stay away from those who practice those things. He's saying all the devices and all the things that mark Satan and not of God, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, just like Satan did. And by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple, for your obedience has become known to all. He says, "Therefore, I'm glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good." Brethren, know what is good. Study God's word. Be led by His Spirit, and be led by His Spirit and simple concerning evil. Know it for what it is. When you hear it, when you see it, when you feel it, know it's evil and stay away from it. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. And brethren, on this Day of Atonement, only God knows how long shortly is. But God will crush Satan shortly, and his kingdom will appear on earth and his reign. And as we have yielded to God, we will be with him to work with him in that kingdom. I hope that for all of us here, brethren.